don't see my own points there, so I'm just counting. So when it last but not least, is that what we see globally is supporting local and regional governments' leadership to translate commitments to inclusion and accessibility into action. COVID-19, climate action, civil rights, safety, and disability issues are many times seen as separate issues. Although we understand accessibility is something which needs to be integral of addressing all of these priorities, and often it will be put in a bucket of all other issues, thus making it less of a priority for a city to make adequate investments. Thus, implicating the journey to create more accessible environments. Then just very, very quickly move over to what we at the World Bank Union are doing to try to address, at least, some of these challenges. So in 2019, we started to more structurally engage about urban development, because we saw that there are no global organization representing a disability constituency who strategically engaged around urban development, or how we design and how we policying around our cities and communities at the global level. So therefore, we saw that there is definitely a need to fill that gap, or start to fill that gap. Because we want to be part, we want to be, as organized constituencies, we want to be having a seat at the table to minimize the risk that practices and standards and guidelines and policies and projects which tries to really make our spaces more inclusive and accessible are truly addressing our rights, our needs, our preferences based on what we want for our lives to be more dignified. So hence we started this in 2019, and now we are now entering the next phase of the program. Our goal with this global program for inclusive and accessible urban development is to accelerate engagement of organizations of persons with disabilities, and of course the constituency of the World Blind Union, to increasingly influence the implementation of the new urban agenda for sustainable urbanization adopted by the UN member states in 2016. Of course, including urban design policies, programs, and practices to truly be in line with the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities adopted by the United Nations member state in 2006. The Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is naturally our core reference as the international framework and human rights treaty on the rights of persons with disabilities. It truly supports localization of the sustainable development goals and all other global humanitarian and development frameworks. As I'm showing on the picture there, I think, we also have the Sendai framework for disaster risk reduction, the SDGs, etc., but also accessibility standards. Because we believe that the frameworks cannot really be impactful if they don't align in its implementation and localization with the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities cannot really truly be realized if the frameworks are not implemented adequately. We have a couple of enabling objectives for our program. The first one relates to strengthen capacities, leadership, and advocacy, considering that we as the World Blind Union did not, before 2019, work around urban development. So here we have worked a lot at the global level with strengthening and supporting stakeholder groups, different kind of networks, partners, etc., to really come together for collective advocacy, to take part in forums and global policy processes. I will come back to that in a little bit. We also work with developing and sharing of tools and resources, which I will also get back to with a few examples soon, both within the disability movement and related organizations, but also with mainstream stakeholders within the United Nations, developing banks, etc., etc. And last but not least, we realize that we as an organization of persons with disabilities can, and who wants a more inclusive and accessible urban future, cannot only talk with disability organizations. So we needed to be part of the mainstream around urban development at the global level, and by turn, to the most local level during the years to come. So for us, it's been important to partner and strategically collaborate with key mainstream stakeholders. And in 2020, the World Bank Union became the first global organization of persons with disabilities to partner with the United Nations Human Settlements Program, UN Habitat, focusing on disability inclusion, accessibility, and universal design. So I'd like to move over to a few examples of our programming and some of the recent events. And I know I need to speed up as well, because I know everyone wants coffee, and that includes myself. So I'd like to just quickly share something about the World Urban Forums. The World Urban Forums are the premier conferences at the global level around sustainable urbanization. This is somewhat the informal follow-up, stakeholder-oriented mechanism around the new urban agenda to take stock of where we are and where we need to go for more sustainable urbanization. The most recent one took place in the city of Katowice in Poland in June, a very hot season in Katowice this summer. And the World Bank Union, together with our partners, coordinated the official delegation and disability caucus of persons with disabilities to this forum, and we did the same in 2020 to the city of Abu Dhabi. Because when we take these delegations and coordinate this delegation to an event like the World Urban Forums, we also prepare the delegates representing a wide range of disability constituencies to participate meaningfully, equally, to be at the table with mayors, with governments, with multilateral organizations, to raise their voices and also share their technical and lived experiences and expertise. We worked together with UN Habitat and the Polish government to also share, and both for the previous World Urban Forum in 2020 and World Urban Forum 11 now in this summer, to share guidance and technical expertise on how to make these events more accessible to persons with disabilities or other groups with some mobility challenges. And we are very happy about the result, because we made, in 2020, we made the Polish government commit to make the World Urban Forum in Katowice the most accessible World Urban Forum yet. And we were so proud, and we also celebrate that, I'm sure every day now, that they actually made to surpass the expectations on the level of accessibility they managed to achieve. And of course, that is a result of the collective advocacy we have done in the last few years. Because if we cannot even make a global event on urbanization truly accessible, how can we make our cities accessible? And we also ensured that the outcome declaration from the forum, which is the key framework for the years to come before the next urban forum, really affirmed stakeholders' commitment to accessibility as something transformative and a solution to many of the challenges of urbanizations we see today. Let's see. I'd like to quickly move over to another example of our work, and I'd like to showcase the Journal on Public Space, a special issue on universally accessible public spaces for all, as public spaces is a core component on the Sustainable Development Goal 11. In 2020, at the previous World Urban Forum, as I mentioned before, in Abu Dhabi, the World Bank Union, together with our partner City Space Architecture, which is an Italian organization around public space, we made a commitment to increase the knowledge and awareness around accessibility and inclusion of public spaces for all, with a focus on older persons and persons with disabilities. And we delivered this just in time for the World Urban Forum this year. It aims to really demonstrate progress and learnings when it comes to making our public spaces more accessible for diverse groups. And it includes around 18 articles, I believe, 18 articles around different dimensions of accessibility in today's public spaces. Articles, viewpoints, and case studies were collected from all over the globe, from local and regional governments, cities, municipal authorities, non-governmental organizations, organizations of persons with disabilities, and academia. So I do share the link as well in the end of the slide. Let's see. Yeah, and we also had a lot of launching events for this at the World Urban Forum, including an official press conference on UN Web TV, where it was translated not only into the 6 UN languages, but also into Polish and international sign. Going over to the next example is the Accessibility Go, a guide to action. Because the pandemic showed, really evidenced that we were really reminded that there is a lot still to be done to combat structural inequalities and barriers to inclusion. And how we try to ensure inclusion in our cities and communities also starts with the fact that how do we ensure that what we do in our own organizations are meeting those standards? Because if we cannot, we need to do it, we need to practice what we preach, right? That how we integrate accessibility in our own organizations will ultimately impact how transformative our actions and practices are for the communities we try to serve. And this, of course, includes more structural practices when it comes to design of public space, etc. Because if we truly want to employ platforms, as was mentioned before, how do we ensure that those are accessible? And we developed a guide called Accessibility Go, a guide to action, together with our partner CBM Global Disability Inclusion, with the support of the Swiss Development Corporation, and also together with other organizations of persons with disabilities. It takes a holistic approach to accessibility from an organizational ecosystem perspective, and is framed around 7 accessibility commitments we believe are critical for any type of organization to implement, to commit to, and take action to implement, ranging from how we make sure that our workplaces and offices and premises are accessible, to procurement, to ICT, to accessible meetings and events, to inclusive employment, and to programs and practices. How do we make sure they are non-discriminatory? And this is all part of taking a holistic and whole-of-organization approach. Because as I mentioned, as one part of the challenges, often accessibility ends up in one department. But accessibility, if we truly believe in what we do in terms of ensuring full inclusion for everyone, then accessibility is the responsibility of everyone. Yes? We reached the time. Oh, no. I was having so fun. Okay. I have one more slide, but I will not read it out, but you will get it afterwards. I wanted to share a few key learnings, and I will not read my notes for this, but I just want to end by saying that we always need to go back to the fact that accessibility is a human right. And if we cannot ensure full accessibility for the diversity of persons with disabilities, that will impact if we truly can ensure the access for all other rights. And that we have to practice what we preach to make sure that in our everyday work, in our everyday practice, has to safeguard accessibility. And if we don't, of course, know what that means, read the Accessibility Go, a guide to action. So I think I will end with that. And of course, I cannot enough reiterate the importance of sometimes we don't always have all the answers or the expertise around accessibility in-house. And therefore, it's not only important to consult with the organization of persons with disabilities, but also constructively partner with them to build the collective expertise of city authorities, but also the civil society. Because towards leaving no one and no place behind, we have to embark on the journey together. So, yeah, done.